Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews and chapter 12, please. The book of Hebrews and chapter 12, continuing on, we're in these weeks considering the doctrine of heaven, what the Bible teaches, like topically about heaven, and we're going to read chapter 12, verse 18 to 29, 18 to the end of the chapter, speaking to the New Testament church, the Jewish church, but the believers. And it says here, "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, unto God the judge of all, unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and unto Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." Amen. God will bless his word. Our God is a consuming fire. It's a present tense. Not he was. He still is. Okay. It is necessary and pleasant that we study heaven. We should know more about the place, heaven, than any place we have ever went on holiday. And if we are saved, we are already a citizen of heaven. Yes, we are a citizen of heaven who is exiled in this world, but this world, for believers, is not their home. The believer is on a pilgrimage. They are traveling to heaven. And every Christian is presently an ambassador of heaven in this world. We are ambassadors. And like in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14 says, "For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." So here we have no lasting, no permanent place, but we are seeking one to come, the new heavens and the new earth. So we look forward, in other words, to heaven. And this morning we asked the question, where is heaven? And I said it's up and it's in eternity. Up and in eternity. And yet, even though heaven is up and in eternity, heaven is very near. Eternity is very near. You know that. Even though it's beyond the furthest reaches of the universe, eternity is very close. I remember once, years ago, when me and my brother used to sit in a quarry down the Moneybroom Road when we lived outside Lisburn. And we used to climb up on top of the lime kilns and sit there and look at the stars with binoculars and so on. And I remember it dawned on me one night, we were sitting there, and I said, look, I said, see if we were to fall from here down to there. I said, we landed down there, that would be the place where we entered eternity. It could be right there. Even though eternity is an eternity, beyond the furthest star, it impinges upon this world, and there's entrances to eternity very near us. It could be the pew. It could be our car. But there are entrances to eternity nearby. Heaven is up and in eternity, and yet it is so near. Now, tonight I said we're going to look at this. Who lives in heaven? Who is presently living in heaven? That's what we're dealing with. Not who is going to live in heaven. We'll deal with that in a later sermon. But at the minute, what we're asking is, who lives in heaven presently? And there are three categories I want to give you. And the first one has to be this. It's the first point. God lives in heaven. God. The triune God lives in heaven. The God that is a trinity, three persons but one God, lives in heaven. The Holy Trinity. Now, why am I emphasizing this? Because that makes God, the God of Christianity, different from any other God. And that's why it's important that we believe that it's the Trinitarian God that we believe in that lives in heaven. One God, three persons. And his dwelling place is heaven. God the Father lives in heaven. God the Son is in heaven. God the Holy Spirit is in heaven. But it's one God. This is a foundational Christian doctrine. The Trinity. It's the real God that we believe in lives in heaven. The Shorter Catechism says, are there more gods than one? And the answer is, there is but one only, the true and living God. But then the next question in the Catechism says, how many persons are there in the Godhead? And the answer is, there are three persons in the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But these three are one God, same in substance, equal in power and in glory. Three persons, one God. Same in substance, same in essence. Made of the same stuff, if you like. Equal in power and glory. And the essence of God is holiness. God the Father is holy. God the Son is the Holy Child. The Holy One, Jesus. The Holy Spirit. The essence of God is holiness. So the triune God lives in heaven. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, yet one God. Maybe, and when I go over these notes again, I was thinking, you know, talking about the Trinity, it's a wee bit of a sidetrack, but it's not a bit of a sidetrack in a way either. So it's important. It's very important, actually. But we want to clarify, we're talking about the real God is the God that lives in heaven. Now, some people might say, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. I can't understand that. You know what the answer is to that? Of course you can't understand that. Neither can I. Nobody can understand that. What did you expect? How could a finite, limited human mind understand the infinite, limitless God. Of course we can't understand that. We cannot comprehend infinity being so limited as we are. And God is eternal. How could we understand? See, to properly understand how God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are one God but three persons, to properly understand that, you would have to be equal to God to understand Him. It's like a spider on a web outside the church door, trying to understand the planets. That's what it's like. Except the difference is even bigger. It's a way beyond the spider's possibility of understanding. So of course, we cannot understand the Trinity, the triune God in heaven. But we believe it just the same. Because God has revealed Himself in the Bible that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And yet the Bible says one God, whereas the planets have not been revealed to the spider outside the front of the church door. And the Bible says in 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, which is the Son, because John calls Jesus, remember, the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. In 1 John, it's the same thing. The Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's what John says in 1 John 5:7. And Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And when Ananias and Sapphira in the book of Acts lied, Peter said to them, you have lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, you have not lied to men, but to God. So the Holy Ghost is God. The Bible says there is one God and three persons. His dwelling place is heaven. I'm going to give you the evidences for it in a minute. So we believe that, even though we do not fully understand that. We have faith. We trust in God's word. What it says is true, though some of it is beyond our full grasp. But no illustration that a human being can make up can perfectly and properly fully illustrate the Trinity. People say water. Water can be liquid, water can be ice, water can be steam or vapor. It appears in these three different forms, but it's all of the same substance. God is three persons, but same in substance, equal in power and glory. Some people even say, very wrongly, you know, I don't understand that. So therefore, I can't believe that. I can't trust in that. I can't believe that because I can't understand it. Anyone who says anything like that is a very illogical person. They're absolutely wrong, but they're also illogical in their thinking. Because you don't understand something, you can't believe it. So, if that's the case, then you certainly won't ever get in an airplane. Sure you won't. Do you understand how a jet engine works? Do you understand the mixture of the fuel that the jet engine works or runs upon? Do you know how the ailerons work and the air brakes and the landing gear? Do you understand that? The tail flaps, do you understand all about it? The bearings and the wheels? The bearings and the axle in the jet engine? No. Do you understand what the stalling speed is of an Airbus A320? Or how a machine that weighs over 100 tons can stay in the air? You understand that? You understand it all? No. You still get on it? How? Well, you trust that it is true that this thing can fly, even though it is beyond your understanding. You see, brethren, it's the greatest fallacy that ever came out of the mouth of a human being that we need to understand fully something before we can believe it. It's absolute nonsense. Nobody practices that in their life. And anyone who says such a thing is foolish. The ordinary life that we live proves factually that you do not need to understand something, all about a thing, to believe in the thing and use it. We don't understand all about our TV, do we? Or electric? Or how the electrician wired the house? Or a mobile phone or a computer? We probably don't. I don't even understand. Or maybe you don't even understand how that heating works underneath those pews. You know, you understand how it all works. But you still want to use it, don't you? If you don't want to believe in anything that you don't understand, just reach down and turn the switch off. That's what modern people are like. They don't think the thing through to its conclusion. It's the greatest fallacy in the world to say, "Oh, I can't believe that because I don't understand it." Spoken only by a fool who uses many things that he doesn't understand. God is a Trinity. We believe it on the basis of the biblical evidence, and even though we don't fully understand it, that's faith. We believe this is the Word of God. There's evidences there. The same as we believe in many things on earth that we fully don't understand either. So let me back up my statement. Okay, God, the triune God, is the first inhabitant of heaven. God the Father is in heaven. Our Father, which art in heaven, says the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 6. God the Father is on the throne in heaven. John, Revelation 4 says, "I saw heaven open, behold the throne, and the face of him that sat on the throne." Where? In heaven. Because God the Father is in heaven. In John 14, Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." It's the Father's house. Because the Father, God the Father, is in heaven. The Lord indeed says in John's Gospel, on chapter 17, and verse 1, it says, "These words speak Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come." So there's some biblical evidence that God the Father lives in heaven. But then, God the Son lives in heaven. Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 7. Listen. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne," it's still the same throne of chapter 4 in Revelation, "a book written, and on the backside it was sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither look therein. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals, the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The Lamb, Jesus, the Lamb as it was slain. The root of David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who is this that opens the seals in heaven? It's Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 7, it's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for us with God the Father in heaven. Listen to what it says in the wee book of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all the worlds, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Who is this? By God's right hand, God the Father's right hand in heaven, who has purged our sins. It can only be our Lord Jesus Christ, who is in heaven at the right hand of the throne. And isn't it he who came from heaven for us? And he will come from heaven again to judge the world. I could read you Revelation 19 on that, when he comes riding that white horse from heaven. Christ is in heaven. But then God the Holy Spirit, he lives in heaven too. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 5, it talks about the seven spirits of God. There are only one spirit of God. Seven is the cardinal number, which means the perfect. It's the complete, the whole. The Spirit of God, it means the Holy Spirit. In all his power, in all his fullness. Says the same thing in Revelation chapter 1:4, that the Holy Spirit is before the throne of God in heaven. And in John 14:26, in the upper room, Christ is speaking to his disciples, and he says that the Father will send the Comforter from heaven. The Holy Spirit came down from heaven on the day of Pentecost. So the Holy Spirit is sent to earth and into our hearts, and he is at the same time before the throne in heaven, because he's omnipresent God. All the persons of God share the same attributes. So that's the first point. Who lives in heaven? God lives in heaven. Secondly, angels live in heaven. Jesus, speaking in Matthew 24, verse 36, referring to his second coming, says, "But of that day or and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but the Son of Man, but God the Father only." The angels of heaven. The angels are in heaven. Michael, the archangel, came down from heaven to give a message to Daniel in Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 21. Revelation 12:2 tells us there was once a war in heaven. 12:7. Michael the archangel and the good angels fought against the dragon, and cast them, the evil ones, from heaven. Gabriel, in the Gospel of Luke, one of the angels, was sent to Zacharias, John the Baptist's father. He was sent from heaven by God. The angels are in heaven. The cherubim are in heaven, the Bible says. The cherubim are the guardian angels of God. There are 29 references to cherubim in the Bible. In Exodus 25, verse 19, when the Ark of the Covenant was being made, and as it was made, and even when it was finished, on each side of the throne were a cherubim, and each side was made two cherubims, and their wings were touching over the throne of God. They are the guardians of the throne of God, the cherubim. And then there's the seraphim who are in heaven. The seraphim in Isaiah 6, verses 2 and 6, are the ones that attend God before his throne, and they have six wings, and with two they veiled their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. But they're in heaven, seraphim, cherubim, and so on. And then there's mighty angels, and they're also in heaven. They will come at the judgment day with Christ. From heaven. Shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. The mighty angels, the powerful soldier angels, maybe even if you want to think about it that way. There are powerful angels, and they live in heaven also. In Daniel chapter 10, an angel appeared to Daniel, the man of God. His eyes were like lightning, or his face was like lightning, his eyes were like fire, his arms and legs were as brass. And Daniel, who knew God, trembled and quaked in fear on the ground. He was so terrified. There are mighty angels of God. And they came from heaven to Daniel. Guardian angels. The Bible speaks of guardian angels. They're probably the cherubim. The reference is Matthew 18, verses 6 and 10. So the angels live in heaven. Third point. The spirits of just men made perfect live in heaven. And that is from the passage we have read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. You are come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. It's talking about heaven. It can't be talking about earth, obviously, because it's not talking about our spirits, because our spirits are not yet made perfect. It's the spirits of just men made perfect that are with God in Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. The spirits of saints who have died, believers, are now perfect in heaven. There will be a bodily resurrection in the future, yes. But at the moment, it is the spirits of just men made perfect in heaven. I needn't tell you that nobody's just naturally. Nobody's perfect naturally. The spirits of the justified are before God. They are in heaven now, those that are justified by faith. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, to the dying thief on the cross, ours, being executed, ours, literally, from death. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Ecclesiastes 12:7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I want to conclude and give a little bit of application. I've only considered tonight, as I said, who lives in heaven, and it's who is presently living in heaven. The triune God, the angels, and the spirits of just men made perfect. That is who is in heaven now. God, the angels, and believers are in heaven. You may know some. We all do. Maybe it's a mother or a father. It could be a brother or a sister who has died in the Lord. It could even be a child or a friend or a husband or a wife. If you know people that have died in Christ, they are made perfect and they are now with Christ in heaven. As I said to you a number of weeks ago, and as you probably already know anyway, I am not a person who is given to fear or worry. But one thing that sometimes I would think of, and I think is fearful, is that some people who have heard even some of my sermons or any gospel sermon, some people under even the sound of a preacher's voice will not be in heaven. Some of the sermons maybe that you have heard that are meant to be the means of you trusting in Jesus, they're a means of grace because they're the word preached, the gospel, will ultimately be used as evidence against you at the judgment day. You'll never be in heaven. That which should be and could be a means of salvation can be a means of condemnation. And there are people. And when they die, they will never be in heaven, and they will remember, as the rich man in Luke 16 remembered for all eternity, what they heard in church. Memory. Christians, don't you ever fear death. You know, there's nothing to fear in death. The sting has been removed. The grave has no more victory. We should not be afraid of death. There's no fear in death. Your spirit, if you're a believer, will be made perfect. You'll be with the heavenly company around the throne. You should never fear death. There is nothing to be afraid of. You'll be with the saints. You'll be there with them. Jesus says in John 17:24, in that great high priestly prayer, Father, I will that them which thou hast given me be with me where I am. Why should we fear death? The Son of God says, Father, I will, it is my will that those people who you have given me, believers, be with me where I am. You'll be with Christ. That is God's will. God will gather you up to glory when you die. There is no sting in death, no victory anymore in the grave. You'll be gathered with the spirits made perfect, just men, spirits of just men made perfect to the glory. When my children were young and smaller, I used to call them unthinkingly my wee gems. Oh, where's all my wee gems? I used to say that quite often, because they're all my wee gems. And I used to say, when they were small, come on, all my wee gems, come on to daddy. And they would all come, all four, and I'd put my arms around them and try and lift them all up at the one time. Couldn't do it now. Probably couldn't hardly even lift Samuel now. And I remember once thinking back about that, and it struck me that that's exactly what Malachi is speaking about in Malachi chapter 3. It says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, listen. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I take up my jewels. That's talking about the fatherhood of God. In that day when God and his Father, that's what he's saying there, God and his Father, he says, they'll be mine in that day when I take up all my little gems, all my jewels, all my precious ones. Maybe you don't feel much like a jewel, do you? Sure, what does that matter, what you feel? It's what God has said. It's what God has said you are. And if you're Christ's, God will gather you up as his precious gems. God is in heaven. The angels are in heaven. And the spirits of the justified are in heaven. So you make sure you be there and you're ready to be there before it's time to die. And Christians, don't fear death. There's nothing at all to be afraid of. Amen. Thank you for your attention. We're going to turn